What's good, everybody? You know who it is. This is your boy, Bubba.
Coach Doty.
Welcome back to another week of Untamed. Hope you all had a good weekend. You know how we all it is. Started off. First topic, got some NFL news. A few things happened around the league I've seen. Frank Gore signed with the Jets. Andy Dalton signed with the Cowboys. Logan Ryan, cornerback, Titans. He walking away. He going to become a free agent. Marshawn Lynch talking about coming back for another season with the Seahawks. A bunch of people have declined their fifth options. I seen, what's his name? Garrett from the Browns, the DN. He accepted his fifth-year option. A whole bunch of other people with deals and stuff. So that's all I've seen. Let's talk about your Cowboys. What you think about Andy Dalton coming in?
Great move. I'm all about competition. I'm all about competition.
Andy Dalton's been around, you know. He's had some decent seasons for the Bengals.
Yeah.
So I mean, what do you think? You think he's gonna put some pressure on Dak? See who's gonna be a starter week one?
Yeah. Oh yeah. If you just know anything about Cincinnati, period. It's a great fanfare, but it's not that the owners are not too smart in what they do. Well, I'm gonna just put it out there like that. I know that's rough, but just not too smart in what they do. You know, they kept a head coach that obvious. I mean, it was obvious that he was not the guy for that job, but they kept him around because they liked him.
Yeah,
so they dedicated to stupidity. So I give him credit there. But I'm a big competition guy, and I'm not one for choose the depth chart. The cream gonna rise to the top, you know. And the alpha is always gonna be the person that's willing and wanting to be the guy who's first in line, first in drills, first in everything. You know, that's the one you want to put on the field. Not necessarily the most talented guy, because sometimes, you know, the most talented guys, you know, they take a couple of hits and things ain't easy. They fold.
Yeah. I think when Dalton comes in, it's going to rattle Dak a little bit, because, you know, Dalton was a starter for a while. He took his team in the playoffs once or twice, if I remember correctly. So, I mean, I think that Andy Dalton's going to come in. You know, I think it's going to be close neck and neck. But I think, you know, during training camp and the preseason, I think Andy Dalton's going to beat out Dak and be the starter week one just to shake things up.
Hey, if that happens, it proves my point about Dak Prescott.
If that does happen, then that just proves that he's not who he says he is.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's easy when you got a bunch of, you know, when you got a bunch of stallions around you. It's easy to find a fast horse, you know. But what happens when you don't, you know, when you don't have everything around you? Andy Dalton, he's used to that. So coming in, getting the guys he got now, come on, he's gonna be biting at the bit to start.
Oh yeah,
it's that job to lose, but you know. Has he ever had to compete for a starting quarterback position?
Not since Romo was there.
But he didn't even have to compete for that because it was Romo's job. Romo just got hurt.
Yeah.
You know that ran into a Tom Brady situation. Quarterback in front of you get hurt. You play good enough to not give him his job back. You stole a job. But I honestly love the move. I think that's something that Dallas needs is a quarterback controversy. If that is not playing good, bring in somebody else that people know. That's from that area. Matter of fact, he played at TCU. So I like
true. What you think about Frank Gore signing with the Jets? I think before you say anything, I think that that's going to help Le'Veon become a better running back. Because, you know, he learned from Frank Gore. Frank Gore's been around. He's done things. I know he's up there in the rushing yard chart, for sure. So, I mean, and he's well-respected in the league, even though he's bounced around after since he left San Francisco. He did very well with the Bills for a while, too. So I think that's going to help Le'Veon. You know, he might learn some things that he ain't seen or he hasn't really paid attention to. So I think that's going to help him a lot, become a better running back for the Jets.
Well, I mean, hey, it could. I really don't see Le'Veon listening to anybody. I just don't think it's in his character to listen to others with more knowledge. I mean, you was with the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know they brought in people like Frank O'Hara, you know, Jerome Bettis, to talk to this guy. And he didn't get it from them. I mean, those are Hall of Famers.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Why would he listen to Frank Gore? You're on your way out the door. I mean, I understand the move from Frank point of view. Hey, where can I go? Where can I probably start eventually or be a legit backup with a lot of playing time? Well, with the stupid stuff that, you know what I'm saying, Le'Veon does, I would go to the Jets too. He's going to eventually do something that's going to put me on the field.
True. I see where you're coming from. What do you think about Marshawn and the talks of coming back?
He needs to have.
I know. I think so too. He's had his fair share. Now I just see it. I just see it now as a like he wants to like hang it up like for sure. But then now like at this point he's like he's just in the middle. He just don't know what to do.
Well, I think he knows what to do. I just think he sells enough jerseys to where people tell him, hey, it's a possibility you might come back. You know? Because he's still a guy who could probably get in there, special situations, get you 3 yards. Or when he comes in the game, make the defense, you know, prepare for him and, you know.
He did it for them when they signed him for the playoffs when one of their backs got hurt. It was him. Who else was it? They signed another back. Who was another vet? And then they had their rookie. It was just them three because I remember Chris Carson got hurt and CJ ProSize got hurt. I think that was the game before the playoff game against the Eagles. That's when they brought him in.
See that? I mean, if he can still make the team money, make the NFL money, I could see him asking to come back. Being productive, I don't see it. I think Frank Gore would be more productive than Marshawn. And I could be wrong.
You got any other news that I haven't heard about? Anything?
Man, wanna you know, give a well, before I get into that, you know, this whole thing about OBJ, talking about he's, you know, saying this is going to be one of his best seasons coming up. I really wish he would stop talking and just play.
I agree with you. He, ever since he came in the league and had that nice rookie year, he's been all talk, but no bite.
No bite. And I just wish, you know, he just start playing. You know, don't worry about all the other stuff. Just play, man, because he's very talented.
Oh yeah, just, you know, just no doubt, fun. Athletic, fast, can move, can catch.
Yeah,
focus and on the game. Stop worrying about what everybody else is saying on the outside world.
Yes. And then, before we get into my last thing that I was gonna say. Have you heard about the Thursday night schedule?
Yeah, they're coming out with the regular season schedule here in 2 days. That's what I heard.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to happen?
I really don't know. I really truly don't know. I think it's going to be a Very interesting.
I really hope that they take away the Thursday night games.
Why would you do that?
Because if they're going to shorten up the season and take away bye weeks, why put more stress on them and playing? You play Sunday and then you got to turn around and play Thursday night. See, I don't know. I think they should just stick to the Sunday Monday thing. And then if college football doesn't have a season, then they should probably, I don't know, put a few games on Saturday.
So if you was making $100 million, $100 million off of hosting Thursday night game, you wouldn't host Thursday night games?
I would, but it just depends on this pandemic thing going on. Because, I mean...
Hold on. If the government say you're good...
If we're good, then yeah, okay, then let's go.
Okay.
If the government said no, like, we're still unsure about things, then I wouldn't lean towards it then.
Okay. So $100 million would change your mind about things.
It would, but it just... That's one thing I'm thinking about, but I'm also thinking about other things as well.
You must have had $100 million before.
I wish I did. I wish I really did. Okay. I wouldn't be going to Bethany College, I'll tell you that.
Okay. Well, hey.
I would be somewhere on the beach going to school.
Okay. You know how many zeros that is?
That's a lot of zeros.
That's a whole bunch of zeros.
That's a lot of zeros. Let me tell you that.
A whole bunch of zeros. I'm gonna tell you right now. If I was in business, man, I'm at $100 million. I can probably pay for a cure for Corona.
Man. Probably could.
Man, I'm telling you, if players will show up and play, man, they're grown men. That's what I'm paying them for.
All right, let's move on. Next topic, we're going to talk about some MLB, NBA, get something else going on here. What you think about the seasons? I know there's been a lot of speculation that baseball's trying to start or they're trying to get something going, maybe start in July. There's been a whole bunch of scenarios going around. You know, just rumors, pros and cons, speculations. They're talking about maybe just sending all the teams to Arizona and maybe playing down there in the spring stadiums. Or they can go to Texas or Florida. I mean, that's what I've been seeing and reading, just of scenarios or rumors for the MLB. The NBA, that's still in the air. I haven't really heard anything about the NBA. Who knows when they're going to kick off again. But if they do start, do you think they're going to allow fans?
I don't know. If they're going to allow fans, they don't need to play it in Texas. They need to go ahead and take that to Arizona. Ain't nothing down there in Arizona. So go ahead and take that on down to Arizona, man. You're going to have fans in the stands. You ain't going to have fans in the stands, but then, you know, play it in Texas. What better place to play it? But if you're going to have fans there, go to Arizona. Where else do they say? Florida?
Yeah, they're just speculations that they could send teams to Arizona, Texas, and Florida.
No, don't say Texas if you're going to have fans there. Go ahead and go to Arizona, Florida. Don't. Las Vegas need a baseball team. Go to Vegas.
That'd be nice. Bring something else. They already got hockey. They already got football. They got UNLV. There needs to be an NBA team there too. I can see it happening.
Yeah.
And bringing back the Sonics in Seattle.
Yeah, that's probably somewhere LeBron will go. That's probably where he'll go next. Him or KD.
Yeah, I mean.
But hey, that.
Go ahead.
That's gonna be weird to see, because baseball is such a unique sport, and you know baseball is a hush mouth sport like hockey.
Yeah,
they don't like to do a lot of talking, and they just like to do and show. And if something go wrong, they don't really want to take responsibility for it. They like blaming players. So I really want to see how Major League Baseball handled this situation. I'm really interested. And it's funny, I'm more interested in how they handle it more than any other sport for some reason. That's weird.
Yeah, because basically this is their season right now. Like, their season should already be going on.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a rumor out there on Twitter that I see right here. This guy said that there's a rumor, multiple sources saying that June 10th, spring training 2 will start, and on July 1st will be opening day, and all teams will be playing at their home ballparks. Now, that's just someone tweeting. It honestly could be false, honestly. Or they could have got a bad source. But if that is true, and they start back up July 1st, do you think they will allow fans? Or at least a limited number of fans?
Man, I don't know. And it's crazy and it's funny as this answer might be, I'm dead serious. I don't see a professional sports team or any college conferences
being held responsible.
I don't see them want to be held responsible. But on the flip side of that, Walmart and Sam's have them closed, and they got people going in and out there all the time.
Well, now they have a system now where like you, it's one way in, one way out. I know, like Sam's, only two people per member can go in, and then if there's too many people in there, then there's a line outside. So like if people come out, then you can go in. So like they're trying to limit the. There's a limit number of occupancy in the store for Walmart and Sam's. I've seen that. And Target. So
yeah, I mean, in an enclosed place.
That's true.
But being baseball, being outdoors. And if you ever been to a real baseball game, when is it ever packed outside of the playoffs?
Rarely. Maybe on a Friday night game.
Yeah, it's very rarely packed. It's already spread out. You got fans to spread out. So I can still see baseball happening. That's why it's so they have so many excuses of why they could start back playing compared to football and compared to basketball having so many indoor arenas in football and in basketball only been playing indoors, kind of like hockey.
Yeah.
So I'm interested in seeing what goes on.
Do you think NBA will start their season back up, or it'll be? I feel like all sports are gonna correlate with each other. Like if the NFL is gonna say like, oh, we're good to go, like July we'll start like training camp and stuff. I feel like everybody else is gonna follow off of that.
I don't disagree, but I don't see them working together because there's so much competition for TV time.
Yeah.
So I can see one doing it and then the others thinking, okay, we got to make a move because we don't want to lose these viewers. So I can see that. But I can't see Major League Baseball saying, hey, NFL, let's kind of work together on this. I don't see that.
Yeah. Well, all we can really do is just sit and wait, just like everybody else.
Yeah. It might be some cities that's friendly enough to do that, like Kansas City. you know, I could see Kansas City and the, you know what I'm saying, the Royals and the Chiefs being side by side like they are with stadiums like that. I could see them kind of working together. They use the same parking lot. You know?
Yeah.
So I could see that in a way, but I don't know. I just don't see it a lot of places.
All right. I want to talk about our next thing. I want to talk about this study that I found on ESPN. They did a study for the fans. It was about the fans. And they did a study about what the fans really want. And they were more favoring about sports returning without spectators than just keep waiting. Because everybody wants to see something. Like, everybody just wants life to go back to normal like it used to be. Which I totally agree. Like, the other day, they're like, there's nothing new on TV, honestly. Like, I go on YouTube and I watch old games, like old football games. Or I watch a playoff game, or I'll watch old basketball game. Like, last night, my dad and I, we watched the 2015 ALDS MLB game between the Royals and the Astros. We had our our nice little World Series run. So, I mean, that's what the study was about, that people favor more returning without the fans than just keep on waiting.
So let me say this. With all the stuff that's going on in the world right now, people need a sports outlet instead of trying to become a better person, being financially smarter. So if something do like this happen again, you're not struggling from paycheck to paycheck. You know, getting healthier, getting into health and fitness, going out, working out, being more, constructive with your time. You would rather want forced to come back, other people put their life at risk that are not first responders. They're just athletes. They're entertainers, sports entertainers. You'd rather let them go back out on the court and play games and put their life at risk just to entertain folks. Hollywood not doing it. Hollywood ain't making no movies right now.
Yeah.
So why should athletes put their life on the line?
I see where you're coming from from your point of view. I think people are just itching just to see, I don't know, honestly. I don't even know how to put it.
Well, no. You said the right thing. Don't get me wrong, but people are so spoiled now to where, oh, I can't watch football or I can't watch basketball. I have nothing to do. Come on. And I'm an athlete. You know me, man. I will sit in the office with players all night long talking. I love being in the office in the locker room. I love it, being in the sports atmosphere. But in a situation like this, I'm kind of seeing how selfish folks are. Just being wanting to be entertained.
Yeah.
I think right now, you know, people like LeBron don't even know what to do. So he's on Instagram and different platforms, because he's used to being in the limelight. Every time you turn on ESPN or Fox, is who's being talked about? LeBron. And now that's kind of diminishing away, and it's like, how can I get back in the limelight? You know, it's just, I don't really get it.
Yeah, I mean, people are just, like, that we, before this even happened, people were just so used to the day-to-day things we were doing, or, you know, of how, like you said, how spoiled we are of, like, how we can see things and we can watch people and watch people do what they do best. And now that basically the world is on halt or on pause, there's nothing to watch, there's nothing to do, or man, I'm bored, or man, I wish there was something on TV or something, or man, I wish somebody was playing football. Like, since this happened, I've done more things with my dad and or picked up new things that I haven't really thought about doing than I have in my 20 years of life. Like, I haven't fished since I was about 4 years old, and I fished more times with my dad now during this whole thing than I have since I was 4 years old.
That's what I'm talking about. What I was going to bring up.
I've hung out with my cousins more this whole entire time. Because, you know, like, throughout my whole life, you know, I would see them every now and then or every other week or so. But, like, now, like, I'm probably seeing them maybe, like, 4 out of 7 days a week. Because, you know, nothing to do. Might as well get together and make some memories. Like, do something together. Yeah. You know, I just doing things that are out of my comfort zone. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And being somebody who's away from my family, you know, as far as I'm from, we always are together. Every weekend, probably 2 times a week, you know, it ain't too many days we gonna go, and that's both sides of my family, my mother's side and my daddy's side. Man, if it's something to get together for, we getting together.
Yeah.
And then being up here, you know, away from my family, all I got is, you know, saying my kids up here, my family up here. And it's like, man, like you said, man, I spent more time with my kids than I have since they've been born. You know, being a college coach, it takes a lot of time away from my kids, but I've been here with them and, you know, been able to teach them some things, seeing how they respond to it, but then also learning from them some things that, you know, I wasn't even expecting to see this early, you know, in their life, but, you know, I'm experiencing it because I'm around every day now.
Yeah.
So that was the big thing that I was going to say. Instead of worrying about sports coming back and all that, man, spend time with your family, you know, and just, you know, saying maximize the time with them and, you know, catching back up with them because, I mean, that's time you ain't going to never get back. The NBA going to keep going on. They're going to find some way to make money.
Yeah.
You know, your immediate family is just, you know, so important.
I got you. All right. Let's close it out. Let's do some trivia. Got it again this week, so see what I can do, Dodie. See what you got, man.
Before we close it out, you know, I want to give, you know, some love to a guy on just two levels. Knowing a couple of players that play for him and then knowing the business of coaching. You know, Don Shula, he passed away at the age of 90. And, you know, one of the only coaches in NFL, I mean, the only coach in NFL history to have an undefeated team.
And win the Super Bowl.
Come on. I mean, it just, you know, he's in the Hall of Fame. He's one of the all-time greats. But, you know, I don't think since the early 90s, he's actually got the credit that he deserves because, you know, he coached some guys. And if you know anything about the 72 Dolphins, man, that team has some characters on there, you know. And just to be able to coach them, keep them focused to an undefeated season, man, he gets, you know, man, kudos to him for that, you know. So I just wanted to, you know, recognize a coaching legend, you know, not just for the stuff he done and the stats he'd proven, but the things that people have told me about him off the field, you know, just a great coach.
R.I.P., man. All right. First question for trivia. You ready?
Man, come on, man.
No, you ready? I'm ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So your first question, why was there no baseball World Series in the year of 1994?
I want to say a strike.
Is that your final answer?
And you said in 94. I want to say it was a strike. I want to say it was a strike. I don't know if it was a player strike or if the owners locked the players out. But I'm going to go with a strike. I can't say which one, what kind of strike, but I want to say a strike.
It was a strike. But I'm gonna give you half of it. It was held by the players. So I mean, you got it partially right, but you didn't get it all the way.
No, I couldn't tell you if it was a player strike or not. 94, man, I was worried about high school.
All right. So which country won the first ever World Cup?
What country won the first ever World Cup? I want to say London.
Wrong. It was Uruguay.
Uruguay.
Yeah.
Uruguay. Wow. I don't even know where that is.
Somewhere in Europe.
Yeah, you got it.
Somewhere in Europe, yeah, I think. I think. Yeah. I don't know. Or if... I can't remember, honestly. It's either in Uruguay or it's in South America. I think it's in South America.
Could be. I don't know.
I think so.
All right. And then it takes Kansas, so I don't know.
So next question. Name the coach who won both the Rose Bowl and the Super Bowl.
Who won a Rose Bowl and a Super Bowl? Ooh. You're going to get me on this one. Oh, that can't be nobody but Bill Walsh. Got to be Bill Walsh.
Bill Walsh is your final answer?
It got to be. I'm not going to diss. Hold on. Rose Bowl, because that could be Pete Carroll, too. Let me go back. That could be Pete Carroll,
too. Who's one? Who's the only one who's won a Rose Bowl and a Super Bowl?
It can't be Harbaugh because Harbaugh didn't win a Super Bowl. It gotta be either. You know what? It is one more coach. It could be. I want to say Dick Vermeil did that. Did Bill Walsh win a Rose Bowl? I know he won a Super Bowl, but did he ever win a Rose Bowl? He was at Stanford. Did he ever win a Rose Bowl? You know what? Since I don't know if it's Bill Walsh and I don't know if it's didn't Pete Carroll win a Rose Bowl?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? Well, I ain't gonna think. You know what? Let's go Dick Vermeil.
Dick Vermeil? Your final answer.
Because I know Dick Vermeil won. I know he won one with UCLA. He won one. I want to say he won like more than five times. He won a Rose Bowl more than five times with UCLA. I want to go Dick Vermeil.
Dick Vermeil is the correct answer.
Wow. The only reason why I knew that is because I knew he had won a Rose Bowl with UCLA. I couldn't recall if Pete Kerr won a Rose Bowl with USC. And it's crazy if he didn't win one with USC.
All right, next question. Which is the first team to win three Super Bowls in the NFL?
The first team to win three Super Bowls in the NFL is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
All right. I'll give you that one.
Not the Dallas Cowboys, which I hate. they had to steal curtain in Pittsburgh, so I mean you just gotta say Pittsburgh when you think about the 70s.
All right, here's the last question. Which team in the 70s won the Super Bowl by the biggest margin?
Ooh. In the 70s.
Which team in the 70s won the Super Bowl by the biggest margin? Who do you think it is? Which team in the 70s won the Super Bowl by the biggest margin?
I can't even remember the teams that was even in the Super Bowl.
Just think of all the teams that have played since 1960 and they played in the 70s. Who were the dominant team in the 70s?
Well, but see, that's the thing. It's that's when they were still starting up. Still starting up. You know what? I want to say, and this the only reason why I know this is because one of the guys in college, who I used to talk to, they used to play at Lincoln, used to talk about the Chiefs all the time and how good they was, and how bad they went down to New Orleans and beat the Vikings. I don't remember the score of the game, but they beat the Vikings in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I do know they beat the Vikings. And it was supposed to be a blowout. Not compared to today's standards, but what a blowout was back then when they were just, you know, running the ball. I'm gonna go with Kansas City and the Vikings. I don't know the score of the game, though.
So you're going to go with Kansas City, who won the Super Bowl by the biggest margin. In the 70s.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Kansas City. Cause I know it went Dallas. And it could be the Raiders, but I'm not gonna give the Raiders credit.
Kansas City is your final answer?
Yeah, I can't go with Pittsburgh because Pittsburgh used to run the ball everywhere. So I'm going with Kansas City.
Kansas City?
Kansas City
is the wrong answer.
Wow. It's
the Raiders with the biggest margin win in the Super Bowl in the 70s.
Who do they play?
The Vikings.
They played the Vikings?
Yeah, dominated the Vikings.
Wow. So I got one team right, I got the other team wrong.
Yeah.
What was the score of the game?
That score of the game, we beat the Vikings 32-14 in 1977.
Wow, 32-14. Okay.
Let's look up the score of the Chiefs and Vikings Super Bowl. Let's see here. Gotta have a score. Where's it at? How is it not gonna show the score? Hold on a sec. It's gonna pop up here in just a second. I think it was like fairly close. I think. They beat the Vikings 23-7. And that's Super Bowl, Super Bowl four.
So it beat them. What was the score?
23-7. The Chiefs won.
23-7. The Chiefs won. And you said the score of your game was what?
32-14. Hold on, let's look at the margin. So 32. So that's a 18 margin, and then yeah, so the margin between the Chiefs and the Vikings is 16, and then the margin between the Vikings and the Raiders is 18. So
by 2 points.
Okay. Hey, it still count. It still count.
Yeah, I can deal with it. We were still in the ballpark.
You was there. You was close. I didn't think the margin was that close between the two.
Yeah, I wouldn't go get a Raiders credit no way, even if I knew the answer. So we good.
Of course you wouldn't. Of course you wouldn't. All right, y'all. Well, thank y'all for tuning in this week's Tuesday episode. Just be on the lookout for Friday's episode. Stay safe. Y'all got any questions, hit us up on all our pages, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Hit me up on Twitter, MexicanMamba18. Make sure you check out our website, untamedks.com. Check us out on Anchor and Spotify. Tell your family, tell your friends, coaches, teammates, your roommate, tell anybody about us. We're the real deal. We're going to be up there one day. May not be right now, but we're going to be up there one day. Just give us a chance. So that's all for today's episode. You already know who it is. Your boy Bubba.
Coach Doty.
See y'all Friday. Take care.
Peace.